failure is very strange. Because not only do you remember the incident what you did and failed in, but the what you call the neutral surrounding around you became negative. It is neutral. Nothing wrong with the coal of fire, but it became an object detestable by you. How many people go through life fighting with negative circumstances that are actually neutral? Because of bad experiences that they have, they look on those things to be negative. Some of us, we might have been a bad experience with people in the past. And then one time we meet another person who looks exactly like that person, acts exactly like that person, but not the same person, different country. You don't like him before we ever know his name. It's not fair for us to react that way. But a failure, reaction to failure is very, very irrational. That means unintelligent reaction. No reason for that. One fine day somebody was by in the garden, a durian dropped on their shoulder. They hated durian the rest of their lives. And some of you durian lovers try your best to convince the guy. Durians are lovely. Durians are filled with sulfur. Durians are filled with this pro-vitamin, this and that, and this and that. Good for you. The person just could not. And when he tried, his subconscious mind reacted and he only said durian. Irrational. And every time he brought near durian, oh, man, I remember how that bad durian found him. I guess that experience is very rare. Seldom do people get hit by fallen buildings. But perhaps there are more closer incidences that we might have experienced closer to home, some in our home life, situations, some of the home arguments, some of the relationship strains that we have with people, some of the things that prevent us from fulfilling Jesus' commandment to love one another. Why can't people love one another freely? Because in themselves they have something that ties them down. They are reminded of their failures. They do not know how to overcome failure. Now we go to the solution. Jesus has a way. As Peter drew near, there was no condemnation in Jesus. He took Peter aside and said, Peter, the Gospel of John 9, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this? Now, Jesus would never compare your love with the other brothers or sisters. Jesus wants everybody to love him the same. So he wouldn't come to Sheila and say, Sheila, do you love me more than Danila? He wouldn't, because he would have to ask Danila the same question. Say, Jamila, do you love me more than Sheila? And then they both come. Who will love Jesus more? Jesus never compares our love to each other. Never. The Greek word this, when Jesus said, do you love me more than this, he's not pointing at all the other disciples and saying, do you love me more than this? Because the other disciples were sinners. The word this is a special Greek word that refers to things. So what things are around? There will be the boat, the net, all these things around, and all the fishing equipment. Jesus will point to them and say, do you love me more than me? You know what he's saying, Peter? It's not all this. I don't know. Come and follow me and let me fish it for me. Now we're going to be fishing at sea. Do you love me more than me? These things. Ask Peter to give up all of these things. Follow him and he will take care of him. So the first area that comes back
to be there in this and do this. Lord, you know I love you more than me. And Jesus asked again, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, no, just you, do you really love me? Lord, I love you. Then he asked, do you love me? And Peter was upset now. Immediately, he's upset with Jesus. Because Jesus asked him 3 times, although he used a different witness. But now, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. Yes? You need to be again. You know all things. You know my heart. You know the depth of my heart. You know when I fail you, I never leave my life. I really do still love you. Lord, I really do love you. First he said, take my lamb and my sheep, take my sheep. 3 times. And no one will do that. In the name of Jesus. Now Jesus went back to God, created an atmosphere exactly the same like the other one. But make it positive. That day, that morning when Peter walked away from the shore, his mind was filled with love for Jesus. The next time he smelled coal fire, his mind tried to play back that denial. But now he remembered the other one, the confession of love. 3 times he confessed to Jesus he loved Jesus. Number one, we have to get rid of failure by eradicating those same kind of atmosphere and incidents. Be willing to face them. The day when you're willing to talk about your failure in a positive way. The day when you're willing not to run away from them like Moses, but to face them and say, yes, I have failed in this area, but Jesus came into my life. All I've prayed with so many for inner healing. Some people, their fears are so irrational. They do not know why they're scared of certain things. But as we go back and pray, we find that certain time in their childhood, they have that bad experience. From that day onwards, that kind of incident hangs on to them, failure in that area, and cripples them. And it, and I ask them to, when they pray, can you see Jesus going back into the past? Then Jesus said, I have been healed by myself by Jesus in that moment. I didn't come from a Christian background. There's so many failures in my life. But each one of them, if you can see that Jesus was there, when you fail, you can see the healing. When Moses failed, there was no Jesus there. But when you and I failed, Jesus was there. The memory will be positive. That's when healing begins to take place in your life. And number two is a very important one. Failure. All failure will cause you to have a very low estimate of yourself. When Moses failed, he lost his image of himself. The I came person became the I am nothing person. He was a mighty warrior, the mighty one in Pharaoh's court. The moment he failed, nobody told him, but he told himself. He felt himself to be a hero. Failure always destroys your self-worth and self-esteem. Failure will make you see yourself in a very low way. There are three views of yourself. One is what the world and people see you to be, right? What people see you to be, even your loved ones and your close ones. Number two is what you actually saw yourself to be. And if you fail, you didn't tell anybody necessarily, some do, but not all, but in yourself, you begin to see yourself as a miserable, stinking old worm, good for nothing. Thus, your self-image is destroyed. And that is exactly what the devil has come to do. He uses failure to destroy man who is in the image of God. The first view is what people see you to be. Secondly, is what you see to be yourself. The third is what God saw you to be. What? Who God sees you to be? You may think God sees me to be the devil. Not now. Not now. You know how valuable one soul is, Jesus said. That if a man were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, there is no profit. That means in God's estimation, one soul is worth more than all the money in the world. All the gold, silver, land, possessions, things, and diamonds and jewels in the whole world. One soul is more valuable. In the beginning, when God made man, when He formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, His own life, He saw that it was more than that. Don't forget the word "very good." You can read in Genesis 1. Every time He made the animals and the plants, He said it was good, it was good, it was good. After He made Adam and Eve, He said it was very good. You know why? Because Adam looked at him. Who wouldn't be proud? God, the Son of Adam, was very good. He got a step off him with that. Hallelujah. He was very good. And God said, man is in my hand. Adam saw himself to be that way. All the outside saw himself to be that way. Animals recognize him that way. God saw him that way. The three views are the same. God saw Adam that way. Adam saw himself that way. The world saw Adam that way. When sin came, Adam was sin, in sin. Eve was in sin. God came into the picture and said, Adam, where are you? Adam see himself differently. He saw himself to be rotten. He didn't tell anybody, but he saw himself that way because he behaved that way. How you behave is how you are actually. It comes out in your actions. He hide behind some bush somewhere. And say God cannot see beyond the bush. Really, some people thought God couldn't see beyond the bush. And so they hide somewhere. Adam, where are you? Adam! God knows, of course, but He wants Adam to make a self-confession. So, God found him and said, I was afraid. He has lost his self-image in God. Failure destroys your self-image. The devil wants to destroy your self-image, but God wants to give you His image. His image. And so how you see yourself is very important.
Because when you see yourself the way God sees, then you will begin to behave the way God wants you to behave. And then people will begin to see God in you. But if you see yourself to be a rotten person, your behavior is changed. The way you act in people is changed. Your desire to accomplish is gone. A failure will destroy your self-image. When you fail, men will run you down. Right? Just some days back, one week back or so, I don't read the papers often, but when I'm in some of your houses, I just go under the headline and the backline. And in the between lines a little bit. So I just looked at the headline and turned to the backline. I saw one phrase there that it says, there was this, I think he was a badminton player or somebody. And he said that when you win, everybody is with you. When you lose, everybody criticizes you. You know the world hates failure. The world really downs on you when you fail. You just have to fail once and they rub you to the ground. It's merciless. It's a merciless world you're in. When you have success, that's all right. Everybody is nice to you. You have a dinner party, 10,000 will attend. When you fail, everybody is not around. Because the world is that way. But what happens is that even though the world is looking at you that way, and you start seeing yourself that way, you lose the determination to live. You lose your zeal to succeed. You lose everything. The moment you're that way, you are stuck in a wilderness for 40 years. You might even die there unless you change the image. Before God could send Moses, he had to change Moses' image. And said, Moses, I send you. You are somebody in me. You're not a zero person. You're somebody in me. In order to overcome failure, we must overcome what failure causes. Failure causes our self-image to be destroyed. We're not talking about self right here, but we're talking about who God wants you to be. God wants you to be somebody. Jesus never saw you to be a rotten, dumb in the bush, a bad ass. Sorry, Jesus saw you that way. I'm sorry, you're finished, really. But standing is beyond the God. By His precious blood. When God looks down on you through His precious blood, He sees that precious child. He sees that purity in you. He sees all the potential in you that He wants to draw out and bring into the full blossom that everyone can partake of the fruit of your life. Of the goodness He has placed in you. God made man in His image. God wants to restore the image in each one of us. The image of God. You have the prophecy today. God says, I dwell in you and I am with you. God dwells in us. His image is in us. Unless you see God in you, others will not see God in you. Amen. But God is seeing Himself in you all the time since the day you accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. So our self-image must change. And how close is just these two verses in the life of the Apostle Paul? Just turn to these two passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If there's any reason for you to fail, whether it be the opportunity to fail in your working life or in any area, please look at the life of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, it doesn't matter where you are in, even if you're not called to the full-time ministry or in your working place, in your professional life, every area, every one of us face the challenges, the failures that we overcome. And there was Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says here in verse 23. He talks about himself now. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. The reason he speaks as a fool is he didn't want to say all these things. But since people keep saying, you know, Paul is none of this. But he said, this is all that I go through for Jesus. He says in verse 23, I am more in labors, more abundant in strength, a good measure in prisons, more frequently, in death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 5 times. Some people, they just have 2 stripes for Jesus, they give up. They say, I don't want to serve Jesus anymore. What's the use of serving Jesus? I continue to have 2 stripes. Well, Paul got 40 minus 1 times 5. Right? It might not exactly make him look like Jesus. But I can tell you, he was really good enough for Jesus. Don't you feel like good enough if you were him? In a literal year? But not when you have a self-image of God. Because Paul saw himself to be somebody in the Lord. And the world beat him up, and here in verse 35, 3 times I was beaten with rocks. Some people, all they had is somebody threatened them. They say, I don't want to use the persecution, lah. Yeah, lah. Sure. The rock has not even come upon me. Look at Paul. No easy life. Look at him in the next verse. Same verse, I was stoned. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the deep. You know where is the deep? Somewhere in the ocean, somewhere floating to nowhere. How do you like a day and a night floating nowhere? Oh God, where are you? Paul was not that way. He had confidence in God because he saw God in him. He carried on. In verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. My, what is that? In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and terror. He still serves the Lord. What are you in the Lord for? Would you be true to the Lord at all times or only in good times? Now, bad times are not for us to stay on the moon, but sometimes they are better than mountains that you're tearing down. In the in-between times, don't ever let the Lord Jesus go. He's the one who can bring you through in your family life, in your financial life, in your business. He's a little one. Many have it. Paul says, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. What a lot. Full-time workers, look at the persistence we have. Amen. Serve the Lord in season, out of season, every situation, serve the Lord. And the Lord alone. Live or die in the Lord. Think about these things that Paul went through. 1,000 times, 1,000 times, he could have given up. Right? But failure is when you decide to give up. You may be going through rough times, but if you decide not to give up, you haven't failed. Failure is when you give up. Paul went through all those rough times. They are not classified as failure. They are his list of victory. He has overcome robbers, he has overcome shipwreck, he has overcome stoning, he has overcome this, he has overcome that. Wow, when he finished the whole list, he sounds like a superman. You know what? He saw himself to be superman, a spiritual man to be better people. He saw himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, same book. The two passages is the second passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what he saw himself to be. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is a verse we're all familiar. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. You are not the old creature anymore. The new creature is a new person in you. You are made in God's image. You're born on the seed of God. No more, they all failure. The reason you keep failing and failing and failing is because you program in yourself that you're this way. Even any old person, old computer specialist can go and program a computer to do certain things. It will do everything. The computer will obediently obey you. If we program ourselves and call ourselves a rotten person, see ourselves to be that way, definitely we will continue to be that way for ages to come. But Paul programmed himself differently. He says, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new person in Christ. What things have passed away? All things have passed away. What are some of the old things? All failures, all hurts, all heartaches, all incidences, all unforgiveness, all those old things have passed away. Oh, sometimes when love once called, they say, this is the fourth time you did this, honey. No, they didn't know the first 3 times you made it in your record book. All things are passed away. All you have to do is to find out how much bad thing is recorded in the computer. It brought a guy for the wrong way. A ton of rubbish will come up. Say, oh, this, I've been waiting to say this, you know. This, all the things came up. What comes up from the mouth is from the heart. It's all up inside. Why? Because it's old things have not passed away. The image has not changed. But Paul saw himself to be a new image, a new creature in Christ, and in verse 20. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. An ambassador. Hallelujah. You know, what kind of image does God have of you? Do you think God will send you if you're a rotten old worm in the dust? What kind of ambassador would that be? No country send their ambassador dressed in rags. Right? No. God sees you to be in His image. You are born again. Once upon a time, the devil has put an old nature in us, but we are born again. We have a new nature in God. We have a new image. We must see ourselves to be that way in God. Ambassadors of God. Paul saw himself to be ambassadors of God. Therefore, no matter what the world sees him to be, he sees himself that way. Whether you are defeated or you are an overcomer depends on this. There are three views on seeing yourself. Don't see yourself one way, the world sees yourself the other way. You have to choose. If the moment you see yourself the way the world sees you, a failure, you are finished. But if you sign up with God and see yourself the way God sees you, you can overcome the world. You can overcome the world. And not only that, in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul sees himself to be the righteousness of God. You say, how dare he? But why can't he? The blood of Jesus has made us in the image of God. You know what the righteousness of God means? To be the righteousness of God is to be in the same standing as Adam was with God and more. To be with God in righteousness. The same nature, the same righteousness of God in us, with us. If you see yourself to have the righteousness of God, yeah, let your new image be viewed from the world. And you will never be the same again. You will go to that old hill and old mountain. Here I come in the image of God. Give way in the name of Jesus. And they will go. They will move. Your problems will be wrapped to the ground in sorrow. Mountains will be made low. The crooked will be made straight. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh Father, we praise you. We thank you for what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst this morning. The many years who have come into failures in their lives, situations that many want to give up. All the world presses its image on you. My God is putting an image inside you. Your self-worth, your self-esteem, your dignity in Christ Jesus. You are worthy, you are not unworthy. For Jesus has shed his precious blood for you to make you worthy. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you, changed you. Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. It's moving all over the congregation right now. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Father God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us stand to our feet right now. Holy Spirit, want to minister unto us. God knows all that you are, your insides and your outside. God sees you. God sees your failure. He sees your success.
You know, one failure can cause a person to commit suicide. Just one failure is enough to kill and ruin your whole life. One is enough if you could not overcome it. Failure to get healing, failure in this, failure in that area, failure. Just one is enough. And there was a man in the Bible who failed just one. He was a success in many areas. You can be a success in 99 areas, but you fail in number 100 and you're miserable if you could not overcome that one. There was a man in the Bible who was a success in every area of his life, but he failed in one area, and he wasted 40 years after that. Guess who? Lululu. There's no person called Lululu. Guess who? Moses! Or the Malay says Musa. No, not him. Not him, girl. Moses! Moses! Let's turn to Acts chapter 7 and read his life as described by Stephen. Acts chapter 7. The book of Acts chapter 7. Stephen was preaching and he described the life of Moses. Verse 20. 7, verse 20. At this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in the father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. Now, what other kind of starting point could be better than that? To grow in the best home in Pharaoh. The best home in Egypt. Pharaoh's own house. His daughter. His daughter's house. To grow up in the royal family, the best family, the richest family in the whole land of Egypt. Some people are praying the wrong prayer. Say, oh God, if only I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Golden spoon in my mouth. Some slightly more greedy than a diamond spoon in my mouth. How far off can you get? Don't you know you're born with that? They have to operate on you? You may choke and get killed by that gold, silver, or diamond. Moses was born in such a manner. He would have thought that he would have success in his life from that time onwards. Success does not depend on your background. Your background may bring circumstances and more mountains and hills that you have to overcome, but success does not depend on your background. Because if that is so, you can come to God and say, God, I'm not accountable because I came on that background. But the Bible says every man is accountable unto God. for this life, and God intends for us to succeed in this life. The background may you may need more endurance to overcome, but it is not the deciding factor. Moses had a wonderful background, and as he grew up, he was in verse 22. And Moses was learned, not in one or two things, but in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Not in one or two things, but in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And you know that the Egyptians have a vast archive of all kinds of collection of ancient writings. It's one of those ancient civilizations. And Moses was learned in them. He was a success in his study life, a scholar, a thoroughbred scholar. You would have thought that if you got all the paper degrees in your life, you could be a success. But I can tell you, there are a lot of people going after the paper chase, the degree chase, and they die by degree. Doesn't guarantee success. People with the highest IQ do not succeed on this earth. Do you know that? Some of the richest people, some of the people who are successful on this earth are not those with tremendous IQ. In fact, those with tremendous IQ, like a film show sometimes show, you know, there's someone, a manager, controlling that smart aleck old professor. He was learned. By all worldly standards, he should be a success, but he was not. He was successful to a certain extent, and then the Bible tells us that when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. I assume from these verses that all Moses had for 40 years, can you imagine, for 40 years, all you have is success. All you have is success. But I can tell you, if all you have is success, then, and you never learn how to overcome failure, one will knock you out. Just one will knock you out. All Moses had was success for 40 years. One day he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And when he visited them, he found that they were fighting. And when they fought, he came and protected one of them in verse 24-25. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended, avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. He was also quite a good boxer. He struck one of them down. Killed him, buried him in the sand. Because the next verse tells us, verse 25, he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. You have a man by worldly standards, successful, but here he was, a failure in his attempt. Everything he has tried, he touched on, has turned to gold. But this one time, he wanted to prove to the Israelites, he is a man for them. He supposed in his heart that by defending one of them there, then they will go about saying, you know, this Moses person, he's the one who can help us. He did it, but it was a failure. The opposite turned up to his thoughts. How did Moses deal with failure? He fled Egypt. One failure can destroy all that you build up for 40 years. One wrong move in your life can destroy all that you accumulated for 30, 40, 50 hard years. Just one thing. And if you don't know how to overcome failure, we would never persevere to the end. God does not judge the in between, necessarily judge us in between the fight. He judges at the end of the fight. It is not how you begin, but it's how you end. You can begin very nicely, the middle can be very nice, but you end terribly. God judges you by the end. Bible tells us that for 40 years Moses languished. He went into the wilderness, and way outside in the wilderness he was just wandering around taking care of all Jethro's flock. He married Jethro's daughter, and then he was taking care of all these things. He was a miserable man for 40 years. All the first 40 years could not bring comfort to Moses in his 40 dry years. He reached a point in Exodus chapter 3 where when God began to call Moses, "Moses, Moses," from the burning bush, Moses was such a beaten down, trodden down, humble, crushed, depressed, oppressed, suppressed, all the presence. So down that when God wanted to use him, now the former Moses, the former successful man, said, "Who am I now? I am just worthless. I am worthless." That is how you would feel like you have failure. You can keep your failure, nurture it for 40 years, and 40 miserable years. If you live that long, Moses lived to be 120, 40 years of failure. How do we overcome failure? The New Testament has an example for us. There was another failure in the Bible. This one perhaps the most familiar. He's my first cousin. His name, the Peter in the Bible. How many of you remember how many times he denied Jesus? Three times. I thought I heard 30 times. Three times he denied Jesus. In fact, Jesus had told him and warned him, prepared him. He said, no, I will betray you. But he denied Jesus three times. He said, "I won't forsake you, though we have to lay down our lives." But he did. He forsook him. The Bible tells us that when they came and they captured Jesus, that Peter was following far off. He didn't have to go near in case he could catch it too. And so he followed far off, all the way to where they took Jesus in a trial. And it was a cold day at that time, cold night. And as he was there by the coal of fire, warming himself up, the question was asked him whether he was one of those who followed Jesus. He denied it once, denied it twice. And the third time he denied it with cursing. With cursing it, "No, I don't know the man." And right at that time, the cock crew, Jesus was in the same place. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, that from way across on the other side, Jesus looked at him. 22, verse 61. Jesus looked at him. His eyes looked at him. And Peter, after denying the third time, looked up and saw Jesus looking at him with the same tender, compassionate look. Chapter 22, Luke, verse 62, Peter cried. He realized what he had done. He had failed Jesus. You know, if there's anyone you ever fail, he can be forgiven. But to fail Jesus, the loving, compassionate Master, who loved so much that he gave his life, is a deep, sad failure. Jesus has
never done anything positive before.
Here was the man whom the Bible says a perfect, sinless man, Son of God, Son of Man, who loves perfectly. I believe the most deepest and the best relationship we could ever have is with Jesus. The most tender kind, the highest kind, the loving kind. And he feared Jesus. Peter, one of the three closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Those whom Jesus confided more things. One of the inner circle. He failed Jesus. And to make the failure worse, he has told Jesus, I won't fail you. I won't deny you. He even said, I will lay down my life for you. And now the opposite has happened. You know how you feel like? When you say something and the opposite thing happens to you? What a terrible experience of faith. The Bible even described in verse 62 of Luke 22 that he wept bitterly. Oh my, for men to cry. You know how hard men are. Really? Anyway. Men. For a hard man like Peter, tough, strong, brownish fisherman, to cry like a baby, he sends failure. Failure. That one failure could destroy entire life and man. One failure could destroy you. To give up everything, go back to the world, go back to sin. Anybody ever felt that way when you fail? Yes. Praise the Lord. Failure. If we do not know how to deal with failure, we will never be on solid ground. We must learn how to overcome failure. And so Peter, why not? I don't know what else he did. But Jesus, true to his word, was resurrected the third day. I want you to think of a Bible scripture here in the Gospel of John. Chapter 20. Chapter 20. Jesus appeared to the disciples in verse, looking at chapter 20, verse 29. Then the same day at evening, John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the door was shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. The disciples were gathered together in a room, huddled together, fearing the Jews, in fear. And of course, Peter was there. Jesus suddenly appeared in the room. Jesus! And said, peace be to you. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He showed himself to them. They saw him, they touched him, they felt him, they had fellowship with him, and he disappeared again. He went away again. You would have expected that when that had happened, I wonder the feeling inside Peter, what it was to meet Jesus. I mean, Jesus saw him when he denied. Here was Jesus of the resurrection. What are the inner feelings of Peter? Turmoil in fact. So sometimes we can get it. You were expected, well, after that, everything would be normal. Jesus has not forgiven Peter, surely. But there's something strange about faith. It tries to be in your present, although it's in the past. You might have failed 2-3 years ago. It is past. 365 and a quarter times 3 years have passed by. Yes, it can be fresh in your memory to torment you. And you know what Peter did? In chapter 21, after Jesus spoke to them, and he did not have Jesus appear to him just once. In fact, he even saw the tomb in the other gospel. One of the first disciples who saw the tomb after the Mary. Chapter 21. Peter says in verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, to his good friend, Thomas, and I guess John is there too, and James, I am going fishing. What a winning, huge failure. I mean, Jesus has an appointment for them. The Bible tells us in the other Gospels, in Matthew 28, Jesus had given instructions to the disciples, go to Galilee and wait, I will show myself to you there some more. Peter says, I am going fishing. Jesus appeared to him. You know, you can be in meeting after meeting after meeting. Evangelists come, evangelists go. Prophet come, prophets go. Apostles come, apostles go. And you also go. The same way, if you do not deal with that root that torments you, that torments your life. Here in chapter 21, after experiencing Jesus, none of us have actually touched Jesus. I haven't touched him. They might touch him, touch his new resurrected body, fellowship with it, having sat down for a meal. And after that spiritual high, he went on a spiritual low. Anybody's life like spiritual high and spiritual low. You know what causes that? Inner conflicts that are not dealt with. Sometimes we want to be free, but we do not know how. We will tell you how. For additional fees. Anyway. We will tell you how as we look at the life of Peter. Here he was. I'm going fishing. And all the rest said, we are going with you. Right idea. Jesus got spiritual work for them. Here they go fishing. That's the way some people are. We laugh at people that way. But some of us, when we spend in certain things and all these things, we say, I am going footballing. No difference. I am going here. No difference. You ask me what my hobbies are, reading the word and prayer. Now that doesn't mean that I don't do other things, alright? But we must find satisfaction in coming to worship God. Not just as a religion and a come and go. See? It must, put it this way, satisfy you more than your hobby. See, worshipping God doesn't satisfy you more than your hobby. Something has to be done. You can go swimming, you can go football, and fellowship, all this, no problem. But not just because you couldn't get satisfaction in other, in spiritual way. And so we have here a Peter going fishing, and guess what did Jesus do? The good shepherd going after the sheep. The long sheep and fat ones there. These are big ones, alright? Peter was supposed to be the future leader of the church going fishing. Huh? I mean, you look at him that way. How would you like it if one day you're finally going to the cinema to see just one of these dumb shows? You will faint, right? Peter! Master! Right. that's how Jesus found the disciples, fishing, when they got so many better things to do. They got commission, remember that Jesus had described to them. And there they are, fishing. Jesus, with great love and tenderness, continued reaching on to them. And so he was standing by the shore and called out to them out in the boat, "Children, have you any fish?" They heard a voice. And they said, "No." You know, when you go your way, you're never successful. "We have toiled all night and there is no fish." They still didn't know it was Jesus. Still didn't know it was Jesus. See, we have done all we can, going fishing. It was definitely not God's will. When they went fishing and got no fish, what a failure. Failures will produce more failure. You sow failure and you act on your failure, you produce more failure. Jesus Christ called to them, no fish. That is the same experience Peter had when Jesus first called him. Remember when Jesus first called him, Jesus said, "Have you all caught?" Jesus said, "Throw your net down there on the side and you will have fishes." And Peter was one of those who said, "We have toiled all night. We are fishermen. You are carpenter. We know better than you." But Jesus said, "Throw your net down." All night, the fishermen, they could not get it. But when they pull up the fish, so much that their boat could not contain, they knew something supernatural had taken place. That is found in Luke chapter 5 verse 5. They toiled all night and could not find fish. Now here was a same incident again. And this time Jesus said, "Cast your net on one side and you will have fish." They did it, they found fish. You just have to put one and one together. But that must be the same man. I don't know who got it first, must be John. John said, "How would you like to be caught red-handed?" Anybody wanted to sin and they're just sneaking, doing that sin, you turn around, there was Jesus looking at you with his bright eyes. John said, "Jesus, caught fishing. What can we do? Fishing. What can we do with Jesus?" Peter looked at Jesus, quickly dive into the water. Jump into the water, started swimming to Jesus. And when he came near to the shore, he smelled something. You know what he smelled? John chapter 21. In John 21, as he drew near the shore, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there. Don't ask me where Jesus was going, I don't know. And fish lay on it and bread. I don't know where Jesus got that fish. They did not drag the fish out to him yet. They just landed. And Jesus got fish and bread. God, with God, all things are possible. Amen. If we only learn to follow and trust him, whatever profession we are in, he can help us. They saw fish there. And you know, coal fire is strange because it has a peculiar smell. Really. Today, most of us cook with corn oil or some other oil. But if you try once in a while cook with coconut oil, all your food has a coconut taste. Right? It has a peculiar taste, really. And coal fire has a peculiar smell. And as Jesus drew near, he swam and he came to the shore, pulled himself up. You know, dancing for air, and he just smelled that coal fire. All the memories came back to him. Because once upon a time, he had seen a coal fire. at the place where he denied Jesus three times. Shift them away in the Gospel of John to John chapter 18. Verse 18. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The coal of fire. The coal fire. That smell reminded him of his failure. Have you ever had incidences harm you? Some people, they just got problems and they nearly drown in water. Just one. And they never touch water anymore, except when they bath or drink. Refuse to go near. Every time they go near the water, all the memories came back to them. Some people, they have tremendous bad experiences in dark places, and they never like darkness. They develop a phobia for that.